didn't really fully understand them. And it wasn't until a few years ago we became involved in a church that began to celebrate those things. And I have come to find such an appreciation for some of those traditions. And this morning's candle, the candle of the prophecy of celebrating Emmanuel, God with us. I believe God with us, that three-word phrase, is possibly the most powerful phrase of the Bible. It certainly takes its place amongst lots of other three-word phrases. In the beginning, it is finished, come follow me. But all of those are linked together with God with us. In that one name, Emmanuel, is the reason for in the beginning God spoke us into existence and all that we know. It is with God with us and the reason that he went to the cross. We often look at Christmas as something that is something that we have to go through. He had to come, right, in order to die and raise again. But yet, sin wasn't the main objective. The main objective was God wanted to be with us. And sin separated us from him. And to take away our sins and to satisfy the law was for the purpose that God might be with us. In Matthew chapter 1, we see the story begin to unfold. And we know that, and we've heard many of the stories, but I'm not going to get into the whole thing this morning, but I want us to step into the story. At this point, Mary has been visited by the angel, and she has been accepting of this assignment from God to carry Jesus. And in the beginning of Matthew, we see a struggle happening with Joseph, who was betrothed to be married to Mary, and he was struggling with what was going on. And so God sent a messenger to him as well and told him, everything that Mary's told you is true. This is God. And you've been called to this. And he accepts this. And in verse 22 of 1, he says, "And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bearing a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. God has always wanted to be with us. When man was first created in the garden, and all of the earth created with it, we see throughout the scriptures in Genesis, God being with Adam, having conversations with Adam. They named the animals together. They hung out together. We see in Genesis 3 where he is walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day. And from the text, we can see that this wasn't some odd thing that happened, but a regular event, that God was with us. After God freed them from Egypt and the people of Israel were going through the wilderness, there was a tent set at the edge of the camp, known as the Tent of Meeting, where Moses would go and speak to God. And the Bible says, as one would talk to a friend, Moses spoke to God and God to him. He was known by all the people. That was what differentiated the Jews from all else. They had a God that lived with them, that led them, and that was present with them. That is one of the most unique things that we have about Christianity in our world. If you look at all other religions of the world, They are worshiping some mystical creature or being or some mystical power or force somewhere out there in the cosmos. It is only Christianity that serves a God that dwells among us, that is present with us. Growing up, I didn't necessarily have a great start in life. My parents, both of them, were teenagers in high school. And, as you can imagine, the family had a lot of mixed emotions when this was discovered. There was talk of abortion, and there was talk of adoption and giving up. And ultimately, they chose to keep me, and my parents ended up getting married. 6 years later, shortly after my brother was born, they divorced. My dad wasn't exactly a great guy, and of course, young and immature, and after that, he wasn't much part of my life. And my mom, being a very young single parent, worked the best she could and worked a lot. And we were constantly on the move. Every year I was in a different school and a different home and different town, and we were constantly on the go. And essentially raising myself and raising my little brother, because my mom was busy working. And in the midst of that, I felt alone. But it was several years later in fifth grade, we began going to a church. We had a neighbor move in. My mom asked if we could go with. And she loved it. I really didn't care much for it myself. I didn't care one way or the other. But shortly after we started, I realized they had a program. And it's similar to Scouts. It was a scouting kind of program, but it wasn't Boy Scouts. And, of course, I loved fishing and camping, so that got my attention right away. And I got involved with that. And it was at one of the first big campouts, big statewide campout that we went to. And it was that Friday evening on June 5th, 1986, where the gospel was shared at the council fire. And one of the men that were the leaders in our group that God had placed in my life to stand in that gap where my father wasn't asked if I wanted to respond to that gospel. And I answered that. And I remember that night vividly, even to this day. But I remember on the way back to our campsite after that was all over, we were on a narrow path walking through the dark. It was pitch black. And there were some people out in front of me and some behind me, but I was kind of just by myself walking along this path with my flashlight. And in the moment, I could not explain all the theological implications that had happened in that moment. I hadn't read the majority of or heard the majority of the stories in this letter to us. But I knew something had happened. Something had changed. I had realized that I was no longer alone. It was in that evening is when I came to know God as God with us. To share in his presence and to know him. I love this time of year. I love the pictures and the celebrations of all that we do. But sometimes some of our traditions get in the way of seeing the bigger picture. Because the celebrations that we have, the reason for this season isn't the candles, and it isn't the decorations and the trees and the presents and the parties and all of those things that we do. Even the good things, the celebration of family and the coming together and building relationships with one another. These are all good things and they're blessed things in our life, but they are not the primary purpose. It is this time of year when we can refocus and readjust our thinking and our awareness to God with us. Some of our current church traditions has somewhat broken up, I think, some of the bigger pictures that the Bible shares about that first Christmas. because of translations and just our contemporary thinking, we miss some of the pieces. Now, I'm going to destroy some of your guys' thinking, and I apologize, but little secret, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Sorry. It is when we celebrate it, but we don't necessarily know the exact day. But from the text, we do know that it was most likely during one of the Jewish feasts, and it was during one of the Jewish feasts that people would actually sojourn to Jerusalem to give offerings in the temple. And from different textual points that we can take, it is most likely one of the festivals in the fall, which would be the Feast of Tabernacles. And in fact, to this day, the Jewish people celebrate this. It was a seven-day celebration where people would basically go out and they would build a temporary structure called a sukkot that was essentially a tent, and they would live in it for a week together out in their backyard or wherever they would go. And it was to remember God soldiering with them in the wilderness, and God coming and tabernacling with them in the wilderness and leading their people to the promised land. And even today in Jerusalem, it is known as the Great National Campout. And people today still go out, and it might be a Coleman tent that they're sleeping in, but they will go out and they will spend the evening. But in Jesus' day, this was a normal thing. They would set it up. The family would live in there. And of course, anybody that has kids, you know, they're probably just loving this, right? Being outside, and the animals would be there and all of that sort of thing. But it was also during this time that they would also sojourn themselves to Jerusalem and out give offering. And it was the government's goal. They decided to have a census, but the census was purely practical. Hey, we're going to be pulling all these people from these outer edges of the area into a congested area so we can get a better count. So they were just taking advantage of what was going on. But here you have Joseph and Mary traveling to Bethlehem, which is just outside of Jerusalem. And they were coming into Bethlehem, and we see this story of they come to the inn, right? And there's no room in the inn. And this guy, I mean, remember, lady about to pop, right? She is pregnant, about to go into labor, and he goes, I don't have any room, but you can go hang out in the barn. And we think, what was this guy thinking, right? But in reality, it was more likely during this time that they probably, even just like today, businesses might put up a nativity to celebrate the Christmas season. They too would set up a sukkot, a temporary structure, even if they were running a business of some sort, as part of the celebration. It was part of the decor of that celebration that week. And it was probably more likely that they said, we didn't have a room, but we have a sukkot. Feel free to use it. And it would have been normal for potential animals and whatnot to be stored in there because it was a shelter and animals naturally take shelter, right? And so we have this picture of a festival that is celebrating God's presence with his people, tabernacling in a tent, and most likely Jesus being born, God once again coming and tabernacling amongst his people, but not this time in a tent, but in a tent of human flesh, in the body of Jesus. And he walked amongst us. It's an amazing thing when you think about this, how God doesn't do anything by accident. It was how the Magi knew that there would be someone born at that time. Because they saw the prophecies. They saw God's intention. And so it was in that moment, in the fall, probably late September, early October time frame. In a small structure outside the inn, in the midst of a night, that God came and dwelt among us once again. You know, when Carrie and I were first met and first getting to know one another, we had dated for a very short period of time at college in Minneapolis. And shortly after that, though, Carrie felt like there were some things going on at home and she needed to leave college and go home for a time. And that was hard. It was 800 miles away, and we did not have the technology that we have today, okay? There was no FaceTime. There was no Facebook. There was, you know, internet wasn't always on like it is today. You know, when you made a phone call, you paid per minute. And so, you know, we would often write letters. There was, you know, you actually used the mail service back then. And I would regularly get cards. I'd love to find silly, goofy cards. And almost every day I was sending a card. And we were, I'd love to get letters and cards back from her. And we would read these letters. And the letters and cards were great. They were good. And talking on the phone was better, though, right? And there were often times it got very expensive. But, you know, we would stay late up into the night talking. And there would even be times where, you know, one of us might even fall asleep, you know, that we would just sit on the phone, not talking, just go to sleep. And the expensive nights when we both fell asleep and forgot to hang up. And, but then there were those opportunities. Any chance I got when there was a break at school, I was in my car heading the 800 miles to Michigan to see her. And I would not stop. I went straight through. I would stop once because I had to put gas in the tank. And that was it. And I would blow through. And I can tell you this. The letters were great to get. I loved the phone conversations. But being in the same room with her was better. And you know, there are people and Christians in the church today that often they are okay with a God out there. Well, I believe in God. They don't mind coming to church and doing some mission projects around town every now and then, helping out at the food pantry, because they believe in God and God's out there. There are some that can honestly say, you know what, taking opportunity to read this, spend some time in prayer. That's even better, right? And that's God with us. But I believe this morning that God wants something even better for us. He wants us to come to awareness of not just God with us, but God with me. Sometimes we get so focused on the corporateness of church and of God that we forget how personal He is. How much He wants to know you. He wants to be in your life, in the daily stuff, in the cool of the day, He wants to be walking with you. Through the trials of life, He is with you. There's not a day that Marcia has been alone. She may live not with other people, but she has never been alone. Through the treatments, through those long nights, God is with her. God is with each and every one of us. That is why we have a season that we can celebrate hope. We have hope because God is with us. And He did everything He possibly could, paid every price there was to be paid in order to make it possible for us to step into His presence once again. To be known by Him, but also for Him to be known by us. God wants us to know Him. God wants to be present in our lives each and every day. You know, I look back on that day that I trusted in Christ. And I've learned a lot over the years, and I still have a lot to learn. And I certainly don't always make the right decisions or the best decisions. But Christianity isn't about making right or wrong decisions. Christianity is about knowing Him. It's about having a relationship with Him. And it's because of that relationship, because I know Him as I do, because I've experienced His presence in my life, there is nothing that can come up in this world that can make me question that. There is no argument. There is no circumstance. There is nothing that can separate me from His love and His presence. And likewise, for you, if you don't know God that way, He wants you to know Him that way this holiday season and far beyond it. My prayer for you is that during this season of focusing in on God with us, His fulfillment of this great promise, that you would know Him the way I did that day. You may not understand everything, but I want you to have that experience where you know your life will never be the same again because you have encountered God in a personal way. And it's something that not my words can do. It is only a divine and miraculous work that God Himself, through His Spirit, can do. I'm going to keep it kind of short this morning because I think the words themselves speak volumes. God with us. In a minute, I'm going to play a video. And I want you to focus more on the words than the video itself. The video is just some slides.